today. Well, let me start with chapter 1, verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. And from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, 'I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Our Father, thank you for the word of God. It's instructive. And I pray that today we would hear you speaking to us. Spirit of God, be real in our congregation this morning. You're the one who can speak most clearly to our hearts. And we want to hear your voice today, Lord. I thank you for the life of Jonah and everything that we are able to learn from him. I pray, Lord, that we would take these lessons to heart, that we would learn to listen to you, that we would learn to look to you. And so I ask, Lord, that your word would transform our lives this morning as we spend time together in it. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about the many people that I have known in my own life and have turned their back on the Lord. They once attended church. They once read their Bibles. They once enjoyed the fellowship, were part of worship. And I've seen many run away from God. Many just decided that it was not for them, or they got lured in by the world, by others. And I think for many at the very beginning, they had this idea that running away from God would be a fairly easy thing to do, fairly uncomplicated. And they thought, you know, the wind will be at my back. I'm sure that in due time I will enjoy success and I will have pleasure and I will have good company and it'll be a great adventure as I find my own path and try to come up with my own calling. And there's no question about it that Jonah, in his own mind, thought that his runaway trip to Tarshish would be a relatively uncomplicated matter, that everything would go smooth. And we have to say, when we read this story, that at the beginning, it did seem like everything was smooth sailing for him. But as we read the story of Jonah, we discover that that's not quite what took place. And although he did experience some smooth sailing for a period of time, the direction of his life was essentially a downward spiral. Down, 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 down. And once he started going down, he just kept going further down all the time. And in chapter 2, Jonah shares his testimony with us. And these are some of the ways he describes his experience. He says, "The flood surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. My life was fainting away." Jonah is describing a very fearful, a terrifying even, experience here. He's about to drown. He's about to die. He's going to experience this, as it were, all by himself. Nobody else around. And then in addition, he mentions the fact that seaweed had wrapped itself around his head. You almost get this picture of the seaweed just grabbing him, almost like an octopus, just grabbing Jonah, binding him, not letting him go, completely entangled in the seaweed, and then blinding him to the point where he couldn't see. So what Jonah is describing here is an experience of utter and total hopelessness. That's it. I'm finished. Gone, kaput. And very clearly, no amount of personal energy, no amount of wisdom that will come from him, and as I said, there's nobody to help. Hopeless and helpless is how he describes his experience. And if that's not bad enough, he also begins to think about God, he says. And there's two verses here that stand out to me, because these thoughts are not all positive and hopeful when he thinks about God. Remember when he was on the boat, he says to the mariners, he says, "I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." All right? All this trouble is because of me. And then he says in verse 3, "For the Lord cast me into the deep." So, you know, when we read the story, we read that it was the mariners who threw him overboard. But here is Jonah saying, you know, "I know that it was the Lord who threw me over." Sorry, it's verse 3. "You hurled me into the deep." And then he goes on to talk about, in verse 4, that "I'm being driven away from your sight." Now recall that Jonah was the one who said, "I want to run away from your presence. I'm running away from your presence." And now he says that his experience is that he feels that the Lord is the one who's saying, "Away from my sight." That's how he's feeling. "I was running away from the Lord's presence, and now I feel that the Lord, you know, as I'm sinking down, it's the Lord saying to me, away from me." Wow. What a dark, difficult spiritual experience for somebody to go through. I remember once I spoke with a young woman, and I'll never forget these words that she said to me. She said, "Vic, I could handle anything in life, no matter how difficult it is, as long as I know that God is on my side, as long as I know that God is with me, I can manage it. But she said, there's times when in my life I experience difficult circumstances, and the thought comes into my mind that God is not only brought these into my life, but that he's opposed to me. He's angry with me. He's saying, out of my sight. And he said, when I go through that, she said, I totally despair. I can handle it, even if it's really tough, as long as I know God is with me. But if I believe that God is against me, everything turns dark. And again, that experience of hopelessness, you know. And it's not just Jonah's experience. Many people have experienced this. The circumstances are just as bad as they possibly can be. And I look to God and it seems that, you know, I have an angry God out there. So the way of the transgressor is very hard. Very hard. And, you know, as I read his testimony, you'll remember that Jonah was unwilling to pray while he was on the boat, right? But now he's thrown overboard and he's sinking down and down and down. And the sense that we get from this is that he's still not praying. He's still not praying. And, you know, you ask yourself, why? Why isn't he praying yet? Is he still resisting? Is he still rebelling? Why isn't he started praying yet? Now you say, well, why do I come to that conclusion? Because in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed. Not before that. But why is he still resisting and rebelling? Or is it that really when a person like Jonah, who's experiencing the possibility that he is going to die, that his mind is too preoccupied on what's taking place? I'm going to die. Now, if that's the case, let me say, you know, I really encourage people not to wait till, you know, their deathbed to turn to God. There's people who think that that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait till the last moment, and then I'm going to turn to the Lord. And if you think it's a simple matter to turn around, you're kidding yourself. Not only do you not know when you will die or how you will die or whether your mind will still be working when you die, but there's just so much struggle that may go on at that moment. You know, people may say, look, I've been a hypocrite all my life. Am I now going to turn to God? And even if I do turn to God, will he receive me? Don't wait till that last moment. Don't plan on it. When it comes time for us to die, we should have nothing else to do but die and just focus on the Lord. Lord Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit. That's what we should be saying when it comes time. But Jonah, while he's going through this terrifying experience of the last moments of his life, he's still not praying. Now, for some of us, you know, we might think that surely Jonah is going to start praying and turning to God as, you know, at this moment, but he's not. Why? And I'd have to say it's because he hasn't hit rock bottom yet. Now, you and I, we might say to ourselves, wow, when he was on the boat and that wind came about and the waves, we would say, that's rock bottom. But for Jonah, it wasn't rock bottom. When he was discovered by the mariners as being guilty, the guilty one, some of us might think, oh, he's exposed now. Now he's hit rock bottom. It wasn't rock bottom for him. He gets thrown overboard. You'd say, now he's, surely that is rock bottom. No, Jonah still hasn't hit rock bottom. Jonah starts sinking down and down and down and down. And you think, surely now he's going to turn. But the answer is, no, that's not rock bottom yet. I'm always amazed in life that, you know, what rock bottom. I constantly think that people have reached rock bottom only to find out that, no, they can go deeper. They can still go deeper. It's not rock bottom quite yet. And so, as we see Jonah, or anybody that we love, you know, going down and down and down and still no rescue, you know, we may turn to the Lord and say, why, Lord? Why? Why not come in at that very moment? And for many people, it's that they still are not ready to turn from their sin and rebellion. Not yet. Not yet. It's amazing. You know, I heard this story about a man who was drowning at sea, and all the friends were frantic, and they were really confused and wondering why the lifeguard wasn't jumping in to save that man. Why? And you can save him. Why aren't you doing it? And the lifeguard just stayed there watching and just eventually watched him go down. And then at that point, he jumps in the water and he goes, gets him, brings him back onto the boat and or onto shore. And then gives him CPR and saves his life. And people, you know, came up to him later and said, why? Why did you wait? Why did you go save him right away? And he said, if I had gone in, he still had a lot of energy in him and a lot of willingness to fight, and he would have probably brought me down as well. Still a lot of fight in him. Gotta wait till that energy, till those attempts to save himself are gone. And then I'll jump in. You know, some people come to Christ and, wow, they come, it seems, really easily, you know, with a good word from a friend or a hug or a parent's tears or something like that. But for the most part, I think it takes greater measures. For the most part, I think that even though it's not what the Lord would will for us, it's just we haven't hit rock bottom. Wow. Now, what we read here is that as he was descending, going down, 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 it says eventually he reached rock bottom. Right? And the amazing thing is, it sounds like rock bottom, but he's still not praying. And it's around this time, when he's down there, that apparently Jonah gets swallowed up by this great big fish. And, you know, at this point, I think Jonah is still saying, the judgment of God, woe is me. You know, you see this big mouth opening up, coming at you and swallowing you up. What else are you going to think? Again, in Scripture, nobody else was ever swallowed up by a big fish. So what's Jonah going to think about what the purpose of this is for? This is how I die. This will be my grave. And, you know, I mean, no doubt as well, the thought goes, if a person can think, they would say, you know, nobody has ever been swallowed up by a big whale and survived. Nobody. But, you know, it seems that while in the belly of the great fish, he realizes, I'm still breathing. I'm still alive. I'm still conscious. Hour after hour, he's still alive. Day after day, although I doubt he would know a day, but nevertheless, day after day, he's still alive. How could this be? And he might say, this is unbelievable. And we'd want to say, there's a lot of people today who would agree with you, Jonah. This is a miracle. How could it be that I'm surviving in all of this? I should be dead, but I'm not. And so what's going on here? I mean, the fish isn't destroying him. So if it's not fully an act of God's judgment, what is it then? It's an act of God's mercy, of God's grace. I'm drowning and I'm being saved from the deep. Friends, just really, this is a point that really struck me, that Jonah is not the one who initiates his own salvation. And it's the Lord who initiates it. He still was not praying when he got down. It was the Lord who came and had this fish swallow Jonah up. And from that point on, eventually Jonah turns around. The Lord was the one who initiated his salvation. I say, thank God for God's mercy and grace, that sovereign mercy and grace. I do not trust human beings. When I read this story, I don't say to myself, you know, oh, people, they'll just hit rock bottom and they're smart. They'll turn around. They'll get it, you know. They're good enough. They're spiritual enough. They were raised with some blah, blah, blah. Had God not intervened in the life of this runaway prophet, he would never have come back. It is God's sovereign grace and mercy at work here. Wow. Now, let me say this as well. You know, this is a story of hopelessness or man's hopelessness, human nature's hopelessness, but the hope that comes from God. Just think of this as well. The last time that Jonah was seen by the sailors, right? When was the last time they saw him, right? Threw him overboard and he went down. That was the last time that they ever saw Jonah. So as far as they were concerned, when they arrived at Tarshish, what would they say? He's dead. That's what they would have thought about him. End of story. And I would say that would be a most reasonable conclusion for them to have. But their conclusion would be wrong. Wow. They thought Jonah was finished. They thought Jonah was dead. They thought Jonah would end up in Sheol, in the grave. What this says to me is always leave room for hope because of who God is. Always leave room for hope because of God is, of who God is. I know that many of us may be thinking that some of our loved ones may have died unprepared to see the Lord. That may be so, but I don't know. I don't know what the Lord did in the last few minutes, what he did when I could, in the areas that I can't see. I don't know. And I'm just going to continue to hope in God. You know, I was thinking also about maybe there were many who were praying for a young man's life who was just gone off the rails, lived an immoral life. He was a thief, broke the law over and over again, and one day had to face capital punishment. And I just thought, maybe, you know, there were those who just said, I can't go to Golgotha. I can't watch him die. The thought that he's going to die and go to hell, and I just can't go. But it's too late now. I know he's on the cross. He's gone. Always leave room for hope. Because something happened at Golgotha. Before he died, he met a Savior who spoke to him. And before he died, he heard the words, "You will be with me in paradise today." Wow. We can't be the final judges of what happens. Even once, you know, we can't see what's going on. We just, because of who Christ is, we have hope. I was also speaking with somebody not very long ago, and she told me a story about, happened to be a pastor, and he had four children, and his desire was that they come to know the Lord. And he got older and older, and they got further away from the Lord. After he died, or then he died, he hadn't seen any one of his children come to know the Lord. But there's somebody here in this congregation who shared this story with me. And she lived much longer than this pastor after he died. And she came to know that those four children came to know the Lord. The God of hope. Your prayers are not in vain. Continue praying. Even when you can't see it, God is still at work underneath. He's still doing something. There's still room for God's miracles to take place. Now, Jonah is in the belly of the whale. And as you can see, that is when he began to pray. The first thing we need to do if we have been running away from the Lord is start talking to the Lord again. Because usually when we run away, we stop talking to him. We don't want to have anything to do with him. Reopen the lines of communication. Talk to him. Let him know where you are. Because the way up, the way home is the way. And the way of recovery is to begin praying and talking to the Lord again. And just say, "I messed up. Lord, I'm in a hopeless situation. I'm helpless. Help me." You know what's ironic as well about the fact that Jonah began to pray to the Lord from the belly of the whale, or from the belly of the great fish? What's ironic was that Jonah, as you will recall, he wanted to run away from the presence of the Lord. And now he's in the belly of the fish, and he begins to pray. And what is his heart's desire? "I sure hope that the presence of the Lord is everywhere accessible, even in the mess that I'm in. I was running away from the Lord, but now I'm in a hopeless situation. Oh, that God is omnipresent. What joy. What a comfort." Isn't it a great thing, friends, that we can pray to the Lord regardless of where we end up and find ourselves? Because Christians can also end up in some pretty messy situations. It doesn't matter where we are, we can pray to the Lord. Now, you know, there's something else going on here, though. On the one hand, you know, I started off by talking about the discipline from the Lord and the anger of the Lord, and it seemed like Jonah was experiencing a cold shoulder from the Lord, and yet at the same time he starts to pray and discovers that the Lord responded to him. And this may indeed be the case, that, you know, all the problems in a backslider's life is not just due to your sin, but also the discipline of the Lord. It may all be coming as a result of the Lord. And you may be experiencing the displeasure from the Lord. But Then Jonah discovers that the Lord is gracious, a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. He's angry, but I'm experiencing his mercy. He seems like he's giving me a cold shoulder, but he's saving me. What a dilemma. You ever feel that way? Like struggling in your heart, seeing both of these things taking place? I recall a story that Charles Spurgeon once told. There was this dog that kept coming into his garden and ruining all his plants. And one day he came out and he saw the dog in the garden. And he picked up this stick and he threw it at the dog, but missed by miles. And the dog ran, went and picked up the stick, brought it back to Charles Spurgeon with its tail wagging. Spurgeon said that although he was angry with what the dog did, when he saw the dog come back with the very stick that he was going to discipline the dog with, he said his heart melted. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He may be, you know, he may be angry with us because of our sin. But when we come back and accept his discipline and come back repentant, come back wanting to be right with God, his heart will be moved. And at that moment when we do that, you know, instead of finding an angry God, what we will find is more like the prodigal son's father with his arms open wide. Come back, my son. Come back, my daughter. Let me say as well that one of the things that Jonah learned is, wow, boy, the Lord's methods of delivering people, not quite what one would have predicted. You're in a hopeless, you know, a hopeless condition, and you think, you know, if he's going to come, he's going to, I don't know, he's going to have to find a way to get in here, and maybe people are just going to dive down, and Aquaman is going to come, or Aquawoman would even be better, would just come and take me out, something pleasant. You know, we find that the Lord has got ways of doing things that are new every morning. You can't even go back to history and say, oh, no, I've got him all figured out. I know all the ways that he delivers people. Because he will say, no, this one, you have never seen this one before. Wow, God's resources, God's wisdom, God's power, just unlimited. Remember the disciples in the middle of the storm also, they're just really fearful. They thought they were going to drown. Nobody around, no way to get out of the storm. You know, how does Jesus save them? He comes walking on the water. Hey, unpredictable. Unpredictable. What does that say? Don't limit God. Hope in the Lord. Everything may look dark to you, but the Lord knows how to deliver his own people. Wow. Oh. In the end, Jonah says that he's eager. He's eager to get back to the Lord's temple. Remember, it represents the presence of the Lord, the fellowship of his people. And he's eager to get back. And he says, I know that the Lord is saving me. I know that I'll be able to get back and be in his presence again. And notice what he says, you know, he just knows idols cannot save. Idols and those who cling to worthless idols, they forfeit the grace that could be theirs. He came to see that the only person who can save you from a hopeless, helpless situation is the Lord God. Wisdom can't do it, knowledge can't do it, drugs can't do it, alcohol can't do it, money can't do it, success can't do it, and on and on and on the list goes. No other idol will be able to save you from the hopeless condition that we get ourselves into. And then he says, I'm going to turn to the Lord and I'm going to let my life be one of thanksgiving and praise. From here on in, I will thank the Lord for saving me. Let me say one final word before I close, and this really is also in preparation for our communion. And you see in verse 7, when my life was ebbing away, just getting to that point where he's almost becoming unconscious is what it seems to suggest there. I remembered you, Lord. I remembered you. And today, you know, we remember the words of the Lord as we come to communion. Do this in remembrance of me. And the question comes to mind, remember what? Remember what? I remember the condition that I was in. I realized that I was under the judgment of God. But I remember that God had mercy, that God sent his Son to die in my place for my rebellion, for my sin. I remember the Lord, and I remember his suffering in my place. I remember the love of God that came and redeemed me. Friends, today as we come to communion, it's not only Jonah who remembers that salvation comes from the Lord. We too must remember our Savior. Remember that salvation comes from the Lord. And I just pray that our thoughts may be on this great salvation and this great Savior this morning. Father, thank you for Jesus, who was the fulfillment of every story in the Bible that has to do with salvation. You are the one who saved us, and you did it in such an unpredictable way. Not only is the big fish unpredictable, the cross is unpredictable. What a way to save us. Lord Jesus, we see your mercy, we see your grace. And today, Lord, you're the one who invites us to come to this table, that we may draw near, that we may once again enjoy the forgiveness of our sins, that we may revel in your righteousness that you impute to us. You take our sin, you give us your righteousness. Salvation is of the Lord. And so, Father, as we prepare our hearts, I pray that you will just minister to each person who will come to take the bread that represents your body, to drink of the cup that represents your blood, your sacrifice. You initiated salvation that we may be saved. And if there be any here today who do not know you, Lord, may your Spirit open hearts today. For we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, once again, there will be four stations, two in the back, two in the front. And just invite you to come as the worship team leads us in a song of worship, that you just come and rejoice and remember salvation is from the Lord.